Good night, my land, good night. I remember in the not so dim and still fresh past, when pilgrims and commuters shifted from town to town, when large signs spoke welcome, when families formed tangles of roots through topsoil to turn out on furious days of grief and mist, to sing and sit silent and stand and kneel and gather in weak sunshine to hear a single solemn peal. Ah, yes, you could read a town by its funerals and find it flat on its back under garlic and yew, and lovers wandering with nuptial excitement gripped in clasped hands, laughter and generosities of breast swinging between rows of related names. Love found depth and harmony in the squirrel acres of thrush-preached ground. Nowadays, in confusion, movers and shakers speed between junctions, demanding unimpeded ribbons of graded and calculated parabola to replace the much-loved but outmoded corner. Shaved mounts, infilled banks and bridges to tame the deep excess of valleys, red and white cells, overcrowd pinch points to practice dark arts of congestion, and scolding bells ring in microwave reaction to mark radioactive combustion and irradiated morsels tabled before all is still in the engine. Everything rams the moment. Poetry lies crushed under boots and voices of demand. The land, scalped of thrift and chamomile, of rye and cooch, of defiant thorns bent before the gale. Everything sports mechanical lizards and scooping iron fists, shifting the cheek to be summer-kissed into the bitumen and aggregate shadow. The grey bands of bridging rings constructed to carry strands of commuter rivers according to plans for flow and optimum urban speed, to add and invest time-realised funds to hoards tied up in illusions of value until wealth lies helpless, a gasp of breath from lungs written in binary code to resemble in function and depiction a road between markets and criers chiming, oh yay, oh yay, and mayors clapping the overtures of spring between boundary stones of history and writ. And we escape the tyrant, the scripted word, the clucking tongues of old tradesmen who observe from the curb declining workmanship and complain in leaning on the chancel rail to watch the tide usher swan and eel between green walls and pigeon ghettos, of budlier bedraggled bridges, vows and declarations between innocent streams and tides, abrasive oceanic saline campaigns of geological attrition to claim unbounded by stannery tradition for lost lands to perpetuate misty chimes of mournful bells. We escape and return to lanes of familiar sentimental courting, knotted in rhythms of quiet life. We tighten laces, button coats, shoulder sacks of snacks and water, to hike shoulder to shoulder with a daughter who refuses to pay for parking, to patrol the edges, the coast, the lip and toe of their land, who rounds the spiky slow tree corner, riding the slip of pliable mud, counting the lanes of casual paths, breaking the tall backs of stiles over hedges and latching gates as good citizens should, coming suddenly, blimey, upon the cliff-top coffee house queue. A horde of destination designers herding espresso Greta children into lines of custom that churn the ground and kick the cake from between cloven hooves and hear the flush of armitage shanks against the rush of jealous waves, the brush of comb through blinding hair, the rattle of chains, the cranks of dropping packet anchors to rest in the shelter of Aberfal, to stitch and repair careworn sails and await replies to urgent mails to pay a share of lugger retirement. The anchor leans against a barn. The old village tombstones generations into chilly New Year harbours, and the butcher pulls shut his doors and carries his cleaver home. Rust insinuates a friendship and beauty of corrosion. There is nobody there. The farm shop sign knows no other word but open, but not a crust of bargain there. And old anchors declare the high proportion of skippers and captains who have taken the stair, salts of horn and hope, who've plied their trade between empires and stations and come to watch girls and boys goosebump along the harbour wall, filling their youth with Portscatha air and leaping up and out, tightly tucked, a human satellite curving down, howling for the hand of Geronimo to run Atlantic fingers through carefree hair. But along the cliff, past boards and gates which prohibit and exclude shouting private property in swift strokes of scarlet bristle to any who pass or pause to stand and stare into the echoing rooms and slamming doors of homes that have forgotten the rough and tumble of occupation, but whose share rises upon the spreadsheet scale, whose asset value is enhanced by roads, chewing farms to get pension owners and safe haven in volatile market pilgrims there to view and back to civilization in time for dinner and erudite swings of the cynical cat. A coffee shop in the middle of nowhere. Benches rising in caffeine terraces, winter picnic sequestration of slopes, whilst below, ghostly voices wander between the folds and pleats of time and wander, who knows, between the pale disk of afternoon moon and the tight bud of confusion's rose, the names and triangulations of marks that tell where, in the unreadable face of inscrutable land, its coves and caves, its guardian rocks and redundant anchors, the marks might lie which tell future hunters, short of time and light in predatorial winters, where fish might best be found. On the door of the Heritage Centre, a note, closed till spring, blotted yellow and indigo by dehumidifying condensation. In one of these houses, I know not which, the old historian, skipper of the erudite ship, home to still the sea leg sway and ease the shallow wheeze of breath, picks petals of knowledge from her undone hair to leave in heaps upon her forgetful stare. The queue for coffee grows longer. We rush, head down, muttering prayer, eager to be away from there and back, back in the arms of our town. It's a bloody gold mine, you know. But where will the lark, we frown, the harbour of anxious song, where the leather jacket hurry along underground, the sound check done? Where will they hang in this solstice sky? And where the dead skipper, old Jack, talking the talk to his pal, the bucker, where will he go to watch and await the telltale shadow, the cry to the village, the shove of seine down the slip, the scrape of gutting steel along the step and strop of a fishwife's blade? In the corner of her silent room, a slow, incessant, short lead drip. Good night, my land. Good night.